In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There is something very dark about our scripture readings today. We heard about false prophets and division within families. In a way, these readings, although somewhat grim, are very real. We know that our lives are not all miraculous healings, banquets, and unbridled joy. Daily struggles and challenges permeate our lives and torment us without ceasing. So thanks be to God that our scripture lessons for today offer a realistic picture of everyday life. Take the prophet Jeremiah, for example. He records our Lord's rebuke of the false prophets. Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, "It shall be well with you." My brothers and sisters in Christ, it's as if the Lord was speaking directly to 21st century America. For how often has our culture, and even other Christians, disregarded and despised the clear and plain words of our Lord? Every day we come across arguments that reject God's clear teaching on marriage and family. The scriptural understanding of human life is violated, and God's own act of creation is denied and mocked. In all of these topics and more, the false prophets of this world encourage the rejection of God's word and speak together with those prophets of old. It's all good. It shall be well with you. But rejecting God's word is not all good. This is a real problem. These false prophets are so successful that entire Christian denominations have accepted and adopted practices that are decidedly contrary to the Word of God. And since we know that God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, that these false prophets are dragging an entire generation of God's children into condemnable darkness, how can we protect ourselves and our children from falling victim to these false teachers? The Lord provides us with that answer by isolating the very nature and cause of these errors. In verse 18 of our Old Testament lesson, the Lord says, "For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened?" And then in verse 22, "But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds." Faithful children of God, it is clear to us from these words that the source of our protection from these errors is to sit in the counsel of the Lord, to see and to hear His word. So if we want to protect ourselves and our children from the traps of the devil, there is no better course of action than to attend Bible study and Sunday school, the divine service, and to have household family devotions regularly. For it is in God's word that we are told of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, a gift given to us sinners for our salvation. Now, so far in this sermon, it's been very easy for us confessional Lutherans to sit back and pat ourselves on the back. After all, we're not like those other churches and the rest of secular society. We don't condone the killing of unborn children, and we don't disregard God's word on issues of marriage and creation. Yet, lest we become secure in the status quo and think that our current exposure to God's Word is good enough, notice how vastly outnumbered we are in this world. Is our testimony to the truth of God's Word so very weak? Have we been too quiet and allowed countless brother and sister churches to stray from the Word of God? When asked for his reaction to the various church bodies that have endorsed gay marriage, newly elected LCMS President Reverend Matthew Harrison responded with repentance, sorrow that our testimony to them was not stronger, and prayers that we might yet testify to them boldly. So through continued Bible study and divine service, not only will our families be strengthened, but we will testify to the truth of God's Word to the wayward churches, in accordance with what the Lord says in Jeremiah 23, "Let him who has my word speak my word faithfully." So now, what will be the results when we faithfully attend Bible study, take our children to Sunday school, have household devotions, and attend the divine service? What will happen to us when we grow in the Word and testify to it? Well, according to our Psalms for today, we will be persecuted by enemies and rejected and mocked by friends. In Psalm 119, some of the later verses, we hear, "The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your law. All your commandments are sure, yet they persecute me with falsehood. Help me. They have almost made an end of me on earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. In your steadfast love, give me life, that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth." So we can be sure to expect the enemies of God's word to react with hostility to our faithful testimony. For the unbelievers in this world do not have consciences that are captive to God's word, as ours are. So we can expect persecution, and traps will be laid, for they will torment those who proclaim the truth. Yet we know that in Jesus Christ, God does give us life that we may keep the testimonies of God's word. So while we can expect the outside world to react with hostility, it is the betrayal of friends that surprises us and hurts us so deeply. Listen again to the heart-wrenching words of our intro at Psalm 55. "It is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me, then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together. Within God's house, we walked in the throng." You can hear the psalmist's pain. A close friend has fallen away. They no longer have fellowship in God's house. Instead, the deserter stands outside and mocks and taunts his former friend. At one time or another, we have all been there with family and friends who have left the church. They have swallowed the poison of the false prophets, and now they deride you, their former friend. They ask how you can possibly believe all that nonsense about God and Jesus rising from the dead. And we long for our friend. We remember the sweet times we had with them. But they have exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and we must remain with the steadfast word of God. So the bottom line is this: in this sinful world, the truth of Jesus Christ divides, and the division hurts. Jesus himself acknowledges this in our gospel lesson when he says, "Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two, and two against three." We wish it were not so, and we will forever proclaim the truth of God's word in hopes that they will yet believe. But the cold, hard reality is that sinners in this world are hostile to the gospel. Yet this should not surprise us, because we too are sinners who have rejected God's word, broken his commandments, and drink from the cup of the false prophets. As often as we neglect and despise God's word, we are the rotten friends in Psalm 55. Yet there is a great and eternal difference between we who hear the word of God and those who abandon it. Though all of us are sinners, they justify their sin as righteous and acceptable. It's all good. It shall be well with you. We look at our sin with repentance and turn to Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the shame, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. My fellow redeemed, the division we experience in this world, though heartbreaking and terrible, is nothing compared to the division we would experience between us and God if Christ had not redeemed us in his blood and united us to himself in holy baptism. So since Jesus has reconciled us to the Father, we may now live with hope despite all the pain and division that we experience. And being united to Christ, who sits at the right hand of the throne of God, we may be assured of our membership in a new heavenly family seated around that very throne. For through faith in the powerful working of Jesus Christ, we are united to one another. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we come together here in this holy hall to dine together at the Lord's table, to sit together and hear his word. For here we have a haven where we can be refreshed in the word of God and built up to endure the trials that are set before us. So in this world of false prophets and persecution, the only steadfast source of protection that we Christians have is the sure and certain word of God. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, God has taken us out. That is, he has separated us from the sin of this world. Now in that division, we can find peace. Peace that we are no longer trapped in the chaos and hopelessness of this world. For we have security in the promises of God. As he has spoken to us in his word, so shall it be. God keeps his promises, and Jesus Christ has attached his word of promise to physical, visible elements of water, bread, and wine, so that we can have means by which we are granted the grace that sustains us. He has promised that he and his grace are present in such sacraments, and we believe it to be true. Not only has he given us the visible word of the sacraments, but he has given the church servants whose task it is to read Scripture, preach and explain it, and to teach it in Bible study and Sunday school. Through this seeing and hearing of Scripture, we are exposed and immersed in the great cloud of witnesses spoken of in Hebrews 12. For the whole of chapter 11, the writer to the Hebrews has listed example after example of Old Testament saints who persevered in the one true faith. By studying these figures in Bible study, we are brought by the Holy Spirit to realize that they believed in the one coming Messiah, in whom we now believe as well. So you see, by being united to Christ in baptism and living in the true faith of His Word, we are not only united to one another here today, but we are united with all the faithful from past and present, so that when we attend the Lord's Supper and live in His Word, we are thus united by the Word of God with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. And together as one, we laud and glorify the name of Christ, in whom we all find our one true faith, hope, and protection. Lord, keep us steadfast in Your Word. Amen. Now may the peace that passes all human understanding guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.